Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Mama. I'm Jill Colziel, co-founder and CEO of Motherly. I'm jumping in at the top of this episode because 3 months after formally launching Motherly, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, a diagnosis that rocked my world and my identity. It was March of 2016, and I was living in the Bay Area with my husband and 2 small daughters, age 2 and 4, and had just launched Motherly with Liz just 3 months earlier. I was in the thick of it in every sense of the word, with 2 small children and a fledgling startup. So when overnight I developed blind spots in my right eye, I initially ignored it. When they remained the next day, I called my eye doctor and made an urgent appointment. Within 10 days, I was diagnosed with MS, an incurable neurological disease, and my identity shifted in an instant. The instant you hear that diagnosis, your identity shifts in big and small ways. For me, I suddenly realized all the dreams I had for myself physically, like dancing at my daughter's weddings and hiking around the world with my husband as we aged. I was so scared and so confused. Would I be able to be the mom, wife, and friend I expected of myself? Would I be able to keep working? I had so many questions. MS is such a big, scary diagnosis. In the end, my story is an optimistic, beautiful one, as I am thriving with MS with no symptoms or disability. Through a lot of privilege, from robust health insurance to cover treatments, education to advocate for myself, a network to ensure I had access to the best MS doctors, in a circle of family and friends to hold me afloat, I was diagnosed quickly and able to start disease-modifying therapies that successfully stopped MS in its tracks. And so, nearly 8 years later, I'm grateful to say that MS has been a blessing in my life, a constant reminder that my health matters, that I'm worth prioritizing. I don't take my health for granted, and I advocate for mothers through Motherly, sharing my story, to remind you that we mothers are the foundation of society, that self-care is not selfish, and that thriving families and communities require thriving mothers.
Hey, Mama, welcome to the Motherly Podcast, where we have honest conversations about modern motherhood. I am Liz Tennedy. I am a co-founder of Motherly, and I'm also a mother of 5 myself. Today's guest is Jamie Lynn Sigler. Jamie Lynn is an actress and a mom of 2 boys. When she was 20 years old and acting on The Sopranos, Jamie Lynn was diagnosed with MS. And after hiding it from the public for a decade, she decided to share her diagnosis in 2016 and has since become a health and disability advocate. In this conversation, we talk about how her experience with MS has evolved over the years and how she talks about her condition with her kids. We also talk about what being an honest mom means to her and why it's so important to lean on your community for support as a mother. And we also chat on her newest project, which is a 3-step guide to helping others who are living with a condition. That project is called Reframing MS. Jamie Lynn Sigler, welcome to the Motherly Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
We're really excited to have you here. Okay, I always like to ask my guests this question because I think it helps us situate to their motherhood journey. So the question is, what surprised you about motherhood and why do you think that was so surprising, whatever that lesson was?
Good question. I think what's surprised me most about motherhood is how much of my own self gets reflected back at me from my kids, whether it be when I react to them or when they react and being like, oh, whoa, they learned that from me. You know, like the real self-awareness that I've gained from my children is pretty intense, and I wasn't expecting that.
Do you remember the first time or an early memory of that experience?
I think one example is watching how my older son speaks to the younger son sometimes. You know what I mean? Like the way he'll reprimand him or direct him or tell him what he's doing is right or wrong. Like sometimes I'm proud of the way that he's reacting and sort of redirecting him and then patting myself on the back like, good job, Jamie, you taught him that. And then other times where I'm like, that probably came from me in a bad moment and I got to do some teaching moment and some repair. But I think that that's the biggest thing for me in motherhood, or the grace that I give myself, is all of the bonding that happens in our moments of repair, because I'm so far from being a perfect mom. I try my best always, but I feel like a lot of the good qualities of them come from our talks when I'm trying to repair or apologize for my behavior.
Yeah, I was reading something about a parenting expert recently talking about, it's not that as parents, we won't have moments of, oh, I shouldn't have done that, or I shouldn't have said that, or I wish I reacted differently. It's not that we won't have them, but it's about what we do when those moments happen, that we can model what it is to take accountability and reconnect. I still feel bad when I do
it. I do too. But I also just, I feel almost the closest with my kids when there's apologies happening. You know, I just feel like we're both being really vulnerable. And I think when I can have a moment as the authority of being like, I don't know everything, dude, I messed up, sorry, I hope will give them permission in life to not feel like they always have to be perfect. And if they were less than perfect, that it's okay. And there's a place to go from there.
I love that. Such an important lesson. I'm definitely in that chapter of my own
same
motherhood journey right now.
Same, same, same.
I'm curious if there's a kind of mother that you're trying to be. If you think about who I'm trying to show up as, what I want motherhood to represent to my children, how would you answer that?
I'm just trying to be a really honest mom. I'm trying to be honest to them about what I'm going through. I want to be honest to them about what they're going through, what the world around us is going through. For me, living with MS, they don't know me any other way. But there's days where possibly my patience is limited because of whatever I may be dealing with physically. And there's moments where I'll say to my son, I'm sorry that I'm not being the best mom right now, but you know, mommy's having a hard day. And those types of conversations and that honesty, I think, allows my kids to see me as human, but also I never want to impose on them what I'm going through, because that shouldn't be their concern. But at the same time, having them be aware of that, I hope they'll take in their lives to be maybe not quick to assume or judge what anyone might be going through in any moment. So I really try to be an honest mom.
Can you talk more about your MS journey and how you found out about your diagnosis in the first place?
So I was diagnosed when I was 20 years old. It was at a time in my life where my career was on a high. I was otherwise perfectly healthy. Life was great. Started to feel like this numbness tingling in my legs, and it started to progress. And when I went to the doctor, I wasn't expecting to come home with an MS diagnosis. So it was a humbling moment and sobering moment for me at the time. And the way I saw best to react at that time was to keep it a secret and just not tell anyone. I thought I was protecting myself. I was fearful of losing my job. I was fearful of people seeing me differently. And I think there was also like a part of me that liked not talking about it so I could kind of be in denial. over the course of a number of years because I wasn't getting the support that I needed. I wasn't talking to anybody about what I was struggling with, including my own doctors. The disease progressed. And then it got to a point where I did have my first son and I was with my now husband. And I started to like harbor these feelings of guilt and shame that come along with holding a secret for so long. And realizing through the few friends of mine that did know about it and that I was honest and open with about it, they just didn't want me to feel that way anymore. So I was facing my biggest fear and letting the world know, hey guys, I live with MS. And I didn't know how anybody would accept me with that. And what that moment then began for me was this journey of self-reflection and self-acceptance. And that we all have hard things that we go through in life, of multiple hard things sometimes, and they usually can be a catalyst for a lot of growth. And in that moment, especially having a young son, was a moment for me to be like, okay, what am I going to do with this? This is going to be part of my life. I can't ignore it anymore. I want to be as healthy and strong and as well as I can. How can I still be the mother, the wife, the friend, the daughter, the sister, the actress? Like, how do I still cultivate my dreams? How do I still make things possible despite the fact that I'm living with RMS? And so it began this journey of self-reflection. And I just created this three-step guide, with which people can find it, reframingms.com. And this comes from my years of inner work and the tools that I found that have helped me, that I think honestly could help anyone in any moment. I don't think you have to be living with a chronic illness or MS to relate to this, because MS affects people so differently. Like, physically, no two people are the same. But emotionally, what we go through, I think, is what connects us. And so the three-step guide, is the first step is reflect. And a lot of that for me was sitting with the hard stuff, sitting with the depression, the sadness, the grief, the fear, the feelings that I pushed away for those first 10 years because I didn't want to feel them and I didn't want to deal with them. But when I did, when I allowed myself and gave myself the right to feel those things and the right to feel sad and the right to feel scared, came the space to have self-acceptance. And in that acceptance, doesn't mean you have to like it. It doesn't mean it's okay and you're totally fine about it. It just means this is the reality. I'm accepting it. And in that space allows the resistance to kind of be removed from the equation. And then in that moment, you go into the step two, which is reframe. So now I have to reframe my life. So I have these physical limitations. For me, MS affects my gait and my ability to walk well. So what does that mean for me? What are the things that I need to ask for when I go to work? What are the things that I need when I want to go to a concert with my girlfriends? What are the things when I need to go to the baseball field with my son? So for instance, if I want to go out with my girlfriends, they'll drop me off at the venue while they go find the parking. Or when I go to my son's games, I'll just get one of those big wagons and I'll push it with all of the gear and wear a neck fan to keep me cool because we live in Texas and it's hot. And then the third step is reach out, because I am nothing without my support system. And as moms, we know firsthand, we're nothing without our mom squad, our community, whether that be to lend an ear, to commiserate, to complain to ask for help, with all of the things. And these are the tools that I found have really been essential for me to live the fullest life that I can, like with MS. And I'm not saying it's always easy. These are three steps that I repeat all the time, that I go back to, but it's allowed me the space and the hope and the movement to move forward in my life and live it as well as I can.
I find it so beautiful and intriguing that when I asked you what kind of mother you want to be, that you said, I want to be an honest mom. And then you talked about this journey that you went through before motherhood of holding this secret in. I wonder how motherhood itself has redefined your relationship to your MS diagnosis and just the kind of human that you want to be with all the wisdom and experiences you've had on the planet.
Yeah, well, for sure. You're well aware of the example that you're setting and that these little sets of eyes are always on you. My kids have two very different reactions to my living with MS. My older son is really empathetic. He's so understanding. He's so acutely aware of me. There's days where he'll be like, hey, mom, you're walking great today. He's my little love. He's my soulmate. He came into this earth and I was like, oh, I know you. We've done this before together. My little one, Jack, is really bothered by it. He's really upset about it. He will compare me to his friends' moms. He will explain to me that he doesn't like that I cannot do some of the things that his friends' moms can. And I give him the space to say that and feel that. He's not wrong. I'm not going to correct him. I make sure that my husband doesn't correct him or that he should be more sensitive to mommy, because the truth is my RMS affects my whole family and all the choices that we make. And so he needs to feel like his voice is heard in that as well. But what I am hoping in the end, though, is that, you know, both of them are just going to be maybe a little bit more aware, like we said before, like not going to jump to some conclusions and maybe just have the understanding that you never know what other people are going through. Look, we all have stuff that we're dealing with all the time. And I think MS for me was the catalyst of my growth as a person. I say all the time, MS gave me my superpower, which is vulnerability. I had no idea how to be vulnerable before. I really didn't. I thought that in order for people to want to be around you or want to connect with you, you had to be perfect. You know, you had to seem like you had it all together. And it's the opposite. I think when we're vulnerable, it's what opens and creates the space for other people to be vulnerable and connect. And in my asking for help in this journey, which is really hard for me to do, a lot of my friendships have deepened and my relationships have gotten closer and stronger. And so I'm not necessarily consciously trying to teach my kids anything. I'm just trying to live my life the best I can and give them the space to have all their feelings about what I'm going through.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You also just talked about the role that your friends, your support system play in your well-being, and that even though for you, your growth has come through your experience with MS, everyone has some limitation in their life, some frustration, especially moms who have so many responsibilities on a day-to-day basis. And they, I know I do, feel so many impediments to what I need to get done. But you talked about the way that you've been able to rely on friends in ways that you might not have reached out or asked or even had suggested for you. People might not have offered these things to you. I'm wondering what you think other moms who don't have MS but have just other hardships in life can learn from your experience, and how by including the village around you, by being vulnerable, by reaching out, by being that person for other people, that motherhood could be a little bit lighter, a little bit better for all of us.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think in general, we feel all this pressure as parents. Like my mom always tells me, she's like, you have too much information. There's too much information for you right now, like how to be the perfect parent or what you should or what you shouldn't do or what your house should look like or what their lunches should look like. Sometimes it's so overwhelming. So to me, I'm almost self-deprecating in the way of not being the perfect mom. But I think that's allowed me to find my mom tribe of other women that are happy to be as honest and the same. And I fallen into this rhythm, for instance, with the other baseball moms. I remember there was one game where my son was in the outfield. It was like warmups. It wasn't time for the game. And he fell and hurt himself. And I was standing there watching to see if he was okay. But it was a long walk for me to get to him. And the other mom looked at me and she was like, "Do you want me to go check on him?" And I was like, "Yeah, I do. Thank you." I didn't even have to ask. We just see each other. We know each other. And I'm forever grateful and bonded with that mom because we've spent enough time that they know me and my body and my limitations. So for her to be able to show up for me in that moment, and I've been able to show up for her in moments for her kids where she had no snacks and I had hundreds of them. And I'm like, "I got you covered. I've got plenty of food for your kid." I think in just being open and honest that like we don't all have it together all of the time. And that's okay. Like you cannot be everything for everyone all of the time. It's really allowed me to fall, like I said, in a rhythm and find a group of women that I don't even have to voice anything. We just show up for each other. I have a best friend. Her name is Odette. A few years ago was dealing with some sensory processing stuff with my youngest son. And he had a lot of anger towards me. He was really angry with me. I was the one that he took things out on. And a lot of the ways that he would do that would be running away from me because he knew I couldn't run after him. And it was a moment we were leaving preschool and he went to go run across the street. And my friend Odette just saw and she grabbed him and she put him in her car. And she said, "Jack, I'm going to drive you home and I'm going to give your mommy a break right now." And she just texted me, "I got you. Go get a coffee. Have your good cry in your car," whatever it is. You know, it's just, I'm forever grateful. And I didn't know that I could lean on people like that. It's really been such a beautiful lesson. And you'd be shocked how much people like to help. I know for me, my cup gets so full when I feel like I'm being of service to somebody, especially somebody I care about. And motherhood has been the greatest example of that for me because of my mom tribe.
I love that. Something else you said was that you never know what somebody is going through. And that is something you've tried to embody and hope teach to your children. And my parents both were raised by parents with disabilities. My dad's dad was blind and my mom's father was deaf. And I think that was something that my parents came to just an understanding of values because they had been raised in households where there were struggles in the home. And they've always had such like profound empathy for just humans and their struggles. But I know that in your case, it can be this invisible burden that you're going through. It's physically real, but people can't immediately tell when they first meet you what's going on under the surface, which it's an analogy for life, but it's in your case, literally true. I'm curious if you were advising other parents on how to just talk to their kids about what other people go through if they're not experiencing these kinds of chronic illness or disabilities. What do you want parents to know about empowering their kids around this topic?
I think more than anything, I just want parents to know questions are okay. I am totally okay if both or Jack's friends want to ask me. When you see a parent that's like, "Don't ask, don't say anything." And I'm like, no, it's okay. They're curious. They're children. It's totally fine. I think giving them the opportunity to have a conversation and be curious is okay. But I don't actively impose any wisdom or teaching. I just try to live my life as open and honest, like I said, as I can. And I think that we're also living in a time with our culture where there's a lot more conversation about inclusion and accessibility and differences and diversity. And I think that also includes me in those conversations. And I also think that because of that, I'm able to voice my needs more. I think people feel more comfortable because not every, like for instance, going to the baseball fields, it's really not that accessible, but I don't blame anyone for not knowing that. But now there's a mom that might have had an easier time if the road was paved leading down to the Little League fields.
Last night, I was at the baseball field and I had my six-month-old in a stroller, and it was really difficult to navigate over bumpy ground. And it's funny you say that, because many times as a mom, I have thought, I'm actually benefiting as a mother pushing this stroller through the city from the accommodations that have been made. The world is not very accommodating, but some of those accommodations that have been made for people in wheelchairs, for example, we have benefited from as moms. You have the little button to push on the door so I don't have to pull it open myself. And so there is this sort of alliance in some ways of places that have been made more accommodating for moms and parents. It was originally intended to benefit people with disabilities. And similarly, spaces that are not accommodating for people with disabilities may also not be accommodating for moms. It's an interesting thing to think about.
Yeah, but I think that's a lot of what this three-step guide is about, is like giving you your voice and the permission to ask for help or ask what's needed that could make your life easier. Because I still want to participate. I want to go to all of the games. I want to go to all of the things. And so it can't be made accessible until I speak up about it. So that was a lot of my intention was in creating this three-step guide, is also just giving people a voice again.
One of the steps that really stuck out to me was this idea of a reframe and how you can look at a difficult situation in life, in your own diagnosis, in your family, and reimagine seeing it a different way. Can you give us an example of a way that you've done that, that has been transformative for you?
Yeah, I think I used to remove myself from travel sometimes. And then I got a job that if I wanted to do it, I had to be on a plane twice a week and navigating through airports. And my husband was like, we're going to figure this out, Jamie, let's do it. So I got a four-wheel suitcase and I can lean on it through the airport. I swallowed my pride and got a walking stick. You know, I fought it for so long, but like, this makes my life easier when I go for long walks. If I wanted to walk with my kids with their dog around the neighborhood, taking my walking stick makes my life easier, as opposed to me sitting it out and being like, no, that's going to be hard for me. Making these small adjustments, I think, has also in turn benefited my health and my abilities, because it's given me possibilities as opposed to always feeling limited.
What does self-care look like for you?
Yeah, self-care was not something I prioritized like many of us moms. I think a lot of it is aligning, to be honest, with the ages of my kids. They're 10 and 5. My husband and I look at each other quite often and high five, and I'm like, we did it. We're like, we don't really stress about going on planes or restaurants. Like, the two of them can play together for 2 hours on a Saturday and not bother us. Like, obviously I'm still needed and we're checking in, but this is a stage of parenting like we've been waiting for.
This is so true. I love that. Just that acknowledgement. Sometimes the self-care is time and just knowing this is a hard day or a hard season. And I'm acknowledging that I can't even fix it right now, but it won't be like this forever. That's an important reframe, frankly.
Yeah. Well, because then on top of it, all of this talk of like how important the self-care is, and you should do this and this and that. And like, you're talking to a mom of a 6-month-old or a mom of multiple kids. How in the world is you going to be able to do that? No, I think, again, I'm in a season of life where this is possible. I get my kids off. I make their snacks, their lunches, make them breakfast, give them a kiss. Goodbye. They're both off to school. They're in kindergarten and fourth grade. Now I have a little bit of time for me. I have between 7:30 and 9 when life starts to pick up for me and whatever I'm doing to take care of myself. And so for me, I try lots of different things. I do cold plunging. I meditate. I try to do that at least once a day. Sometimes I do guided ones. Sometimes I just kind of sit in silence. I had a teacher once tell me, and this was the key to meditation for me, was you cannot do it wrong. There's no right or wrong way to do it. And I think that that really released any of the pressure or the feelings like this is not possible for me. And when the thoughts come, because thoughts are never going to stop, I had this little trick where I'll think of it like the CNN ticker, and I'm like, okay, they're there, but they're like just at the bottom and I don't have to focus on them. Yeah, exactly. So that's really helped me. And then I don't know, I get my nails done regularly now. I have not done that in 5 years up until now, you know, things like that, that just being honest with yourself, like you said, to be in seasons of life where and not pressure that you have to be everything for everyone. You can't. You just can't.
So I have 5 kids. I don't know if I mentioned that. So there, my life is...
You have 5 kids. You're amazing.
I have 5 wow. kids. So it is a circus all the time. But with meditation, for me, what helped was knowing this might not work right away, meaning on any given day, that meditation might not feel like it's doing it. And sometimes I meditate and I'm like, I feel better after that. And some days I meditate and I'm like, okay, nothing happened. I still feel stressed. But that practice of showing up for myself, I know is setting the groundwork for it to be there for me the next time that I need it. And sometimes I magically feel I could breathe after it.
Wow. Like you're saying, showing up, I think that's no matter what and the result, that's getting into your subconscious. That's registering for sure that you are showing up in whatever way you can for yourself. That's so important.
Jamie Lynn, is there anything we didn't talk about yet that you think is important for our listeners to know?
I just want to say reframingms.com is where this guide, you can find it. I just thank you for this conversation. I love to talk about motherhood and have open, honest conversation about it.
And as regular listeners of our podcast know, my co-founder, Jill Koziel, is also living with MS and has helped build Motherly while also navigating her own diagnosis. So we'll be sharing more on that. But it is a cause and topic that we really want to make sure we give a platform to here at Motherly. Jamie Lynn Sigler, thank you so much for joining us on the Motherly podcast.
Thank you.
Well, that's it for this episode. Thank you so much, Jamie Lynn. And thank you for listening to our podcast. We will be back next week with another amazing guest. You don't want to miss it. As always, we would love it if you spread the word about the Motherly podcast. So if you can right now, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Leaving a review takes no more than 30 seconds, but it really helps other people discover our show. And I read all of your feedback. The Motherly podcast is produced by Jennifer Bassett with audio editing from Joel Edinburgh. Our associate producer is Olivia Henriksen. Our music is from the Blue Dot Sessions. I'm your host, Liz Tennedy. Thank you so much for listening.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.